You can count how many days of Christmas we're in to this 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany. Epiphany will be next Sunday, and today we look once again at God's gift of the Christ child for you and for the life of the world. Our opening hymn, as you heard in our prelude, Joy to the World, 387. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day, the first Sunday after Christmas. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, second person of the Trinity, wrapped in flesh and blood, born of a virgin, born for us, to bring us life and salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for adopting us into your family, making us heirs of everything that Jesus has accomplished for us. Help us to live and to die in that faith, in that assurance, in that guarantee of forgiveness, life, and salvation, in and only in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his powerful and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 387.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me for my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The Lord reigns, He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, He has put on strength as His belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their decrees are very trustworthy.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join now in the gradual for today. You are the
most handsome of all sons of men.
Grace is poured upon your lips. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a registrar.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and his Son, who with the Father and his Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 359.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today comes from the epistle lesson, especially these words: when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Thus far, our text. Dear friends in Christ, did you know that it is still Christmas time, at least in the church? The world certainly has moved on, seeking to forget the birth of our Lord as quickly as possible, trying to focus your attention on a new year, on buying expensive exercise equipment, and going on a diet after the holiday season. But here in the church, it's still Christmas. We still can enjoy all the holiday goodies. Most importantly, we can still enjoy God's holy word about Christmas. Last week, as we heard about Christmas, we focused on the birth of Jesus, the celebration of the incarnation of God taking on our human flesh. And this morning, we move on to what that means for you and for me. What does Christmas mean? Most simply put, it means this. Today, you are God's heir. Before, you were not. Before, you were a slave to sin, death, and your own sinful nature. But today, yes, today, you are God's heir. And being an heir is no small matter. Being an heir means that when God dies, you get all that belonged to him. It's the same way with all inheritance, with all cases of heirdom, if you will. And you've seen it in the movies. You've seen it in the movie Gran Torino. Tao inherits Walt's car when Walt dies at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert. Or maybe Who Framed Roger Rabbit? The cartoons all inherit Toontown when Marvin Acme dies and his will is found. Or Frozen. When the king and queen of Arendelle die in a terrible boating accident, Elsa becomes the queen. In The Lion King, when Mufasa dies, Simba inherits all that the light touches. The list could go on and on and on. Being an heir means when someone dies, you get what they had. And the truth be told, perhaps we've even experienced this in a much more personal way. When a loved one who was very near and dear to you passed away and left you with some or all of their possessions. That's the way inheritance works. That's the reason we write wills and last testaments. They are pieces of paper or a word that is spoken by someone that clearly lays out who gets what they have when their life comes to its conclusion. Those on the receiving end of the deal become the heirs, the ones who received what is promised. And this Christmas season, in our epistle lesson, St. Paul tells you something important. He makes known to you that you are the heir of God. That means when God dies, all the stuff he had that he named you to receive, you get to have. When God dies, his things become your things. God named you his heir here in the baptismal font, when you were washed with water and the Word, when he put his name upon you, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Water and Word anointed you into God's family. He adopted you to be his heir. He declared you'd receive what he wanted to give you. Before you received the gift of baptism, you were not an heir. But rather, before, you were enslaved, St. Paul says, enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. You were a slave to your sin. You, in fact, could do nothing but sin. That's why you spoke the way you spoke. That's why you acted the way you acted. That's why you have family members who won't speak to each other. That's why there's so much conflict at work. That's why there's so many challenges and so much suffering in this world. You were a slave to sin, the world was a slave to sin, and in the end, that sin sought but one thing: your death. Your eternal death. And so we face conflict day in and day out. And all those conflicts wear and tear upon our hearts, do they not? We become wearied by the cares of this world, overwhelmed by our sin. These things remind us of the truth that if we are left in slavery to sin, we will die, and that death will be forever. We are slaves to sin. We are under God's law, and we've broken it all. But that was before. Today, you have been adopted as God's heir, baptized into his name. You are God's child. Be glad to say it by being baptized into Christ. You're his heir. When God dies, you get what he's promised you. And what did he promise in the waters of baptism? He promised eternal life, holiness, righteousness, blessedness, peace, joy. When God dies, those are all the things you're going to get. And St. Paul goes on and tells you that in fact, you've already received those things. For you see, God already has died. St. Paul says it this way: so it is that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons. God sent Jesus, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger, for you. God sent him to be born, to suffer, to bleed, to die on a cross. God sent Jesus, who himself is, in fact, God in the flesh, to die for you, for your slavery to sin, to redeem you, a lost and condemned person, to purchase and win you from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil by shedding his own holy, precious blood for you. Jesus lived the perfect life for you. Jesus fulfilled the law for you. In fact, Jesus did not deserve to die, but instead to live forever. But to save you, he goes to the cross. The baby we worshiped last week, lying in the manger, worshiped by angels and shepherds alike, is the same God we worship, who hung from a cross to die for sinners. That's what he did. That's why we have a picture of Christ here by the pulpit, hanging from the cross. It's why we have one on the altar, to remind us that Jesus died for our sin. And when God in Jesus dies, you inherit what he promised. What did he promise? Eternal life, which rightly belonged to him, the perfect, holy God. So when Jesus dies, you inherit eternal life. Holiness. God is holy, 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 and he promised that you would be holy in the waters of baptism. And when he dies, you inherit holiness. Righteousness. In his death, you receive it. Peace. When he goes to the cross and says, "It is finished," you have peace with God. Comfort, joy, all the rest, these belong to you because you have inherited them from the God who promised them to you in his will and in his testament. You're no longer a slave to sin. Death is not your master. Jesus promised these things to you. And in his death, his word is fulfilled. Perhaps the clearest place to see this taking place is in the Lord's Supper, when Jesus says, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." A promise given to you, and in his death, you inherit exactly what that word says: forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, life and salvation follow right along. What God promises, the death of Jesus brings to you. All your sin washed away. All your shame gone. The guilt that you seek to carry with you, Jesus eliminates. There's something even more amazing when it comes to inheriting from Jesus, from God. As perhaps some of you know from this Christmas season, the hardest thing about inheriting something from someone else is that that person has to be gone. The only way that Simba got the Lion Kingdom is when Mufasa died and was taken from him. The only way that Tao got the Gran Torino is because Walt was dead. The only reason you have forgiveness of sins is because Jesus died. But the amazing thing when it comes to inheriting from God is this: Jesus does not stay dead. He dies. You inherit what he has promised, and then he rises again from the dead to live with you forever. You've received the inheritance, and you've received the one who has gone back. And what is more is this: in Jesus, all those loved ones who are gone, who you miss, who your heart aches and yearns for, in faith in Christ, they are not gone forever. Christ promises all who trust in him will inherit eternal life. You'll get them back as well. You've received the inheritance. Christ lives and reigns forever, and you are God's heir, adopted into his family. The resurrected Jesus is your brother now, and you can pray to him in the same way you speak to close and dear family. And if Jesus is your brother, then God is your heavenly Father. And you can speak and pray to him as dear children ask their dear father, certain and sure that he hears, that he listens, and that he'll provide what you need. You, dear Christian, are God's heir. And when Jesus died, you inherited what he promised: peace, comfort, forgiveness, blessedness. You no longer are a slave to sin or death or the power of the devil. You're a part of God's family. And you always shall be. What you've inherited can never be taken away. You are God's child, God's brother or sister, and you always shall be. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by standing and singing the offertory, "Create in Me." Please stand.
Oh,
be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us this day. Special word of welcome for those who are worshiping with us on the radio or throughout the world on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's gift of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes. We pray for Ivy Thiewen recuperating from surgery. Our response this morning will be, Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the church, that all who have been adopted into the divine family through the sacrament of holy baptism and made heirs would rejoice in the salvation and eternal inheritance they have in Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that they would be filled with wisdom and have the favor of God upon them as they serve in Christ's stead and by his command, and for an increase in the pastoral vocation, that Christ and him crucified would be proclaimed everywhere. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that we may boldly shine the light of Christ into the dark lives of those we know who do not know him as Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the weakest among us, especially the unborn, that their lives would be cherished and protected, and for those who have been traumatized in the aftermath of abortion, that they would find forgiveness, healing, and restoration in our loving Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, that our leaders may serve faithfully and wisely, making God-pleasing decisions and walking in integrity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from loneliness, that they would be comforted by the sure and certain knowledge that they will never be forsaken by God, and that they would find family and friends within the household of faith with whom they can find loving companionship. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, for those who suffer, for those who mourn, especially for those whom our prayers are desired, for Ivy, Al, Kim, Harlan, Laverne, Shirley, Ron, Mark, Dan, Jane, Emma, Deb, Janet, Barb, Jerrica, Walter, Kylan, Megan, Joe, Irma, Rachel, Denise, Jared, Louise, Bryn, for the family of Janet Stelick, and for all those that we remember in our hearts, that they might be surrounded by God's love in Christ and healed according to his gracious will, that their comfort and the comfort of the resurrection might fill their hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the Holy Supper this day, that they would see their salvation in the very body and blood of Christ, given them to eat and drink, and thus, with Simeon, know that they may depart in peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all our brothers and sisters who have departed this vale of tears in the peace of faith, let us give thanks and praise to the Lord, that we would be brought with them to see with our own eyes him who is the light of the nations and the glory of Israel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
prayed together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ.
and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Hymn 390, let us all with gladsome voice.